Should we be telling people who are experiencing a hard time that their life is going to get so much better? Here's Pastor Dave Roth.
How many people have been so hurt when somebody told them God's going to heal you and they weren't healed? Or somebody said, God is going to bring a spouse for you and it just doesn't happen. See, we don't know that. We don't know that's going to happen. And so a smarter approach always, and the approach that God always uses is, hey, make the best of what's going on in your life. It may continue. It may just be that way.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Hello, friend. We're delighted to share the next half hour together with you as we open the balanced word in search of God's truth to apply to our daily lives. Right now, Dave Rolfe is in a unique series featuring the stories of the Bible. As we open up Jeremiah 28 and 29 today, we observe two prophets that couldn't be more different. First, you have Hananiah, the false prophet, and then Jeremiah, the true prophet of God. Dave will set out to show us how we can tell the difference between what God is saying and what man has come up with on his own. First, he recalls this story from his early days in seminary.
When I was in seminary one time, a bunch of us students were standing around talking, and we were criticizing Billy Graham. Because we're going, you know, he's so compromised. He doesn't get up. There's certain things he doesn't talk about and address. And worse yet, he has liberals up on the platform with him. And you know, that's just awful. And one of my professors was listening to us as we talked. And he goes, hey, guys, I have a question for you. Oh, yeah? He said, if you go down to the pier to go fishing and you haven't caught any fish yet, and you find a guy on the end of the pier who has a whole pile of fish that he just caught, are you going to tell him how to fish? And that's the thing. Man, Jeremiah had been prophesying faithfully. If you have a message, go tell your message. Don't go interrupt what he is doing and say, my message is you're a mess. That's not what a true prophet actually does. That's a way, a cheap way, a shortcut to try to make yourself somebody by putting down somebody else. If you know better than that guy how to do it, go do it. Don't go putting him down. Along with this, with the true prophet is a track record. Jeremiah had a long history of faithfulness and had made prophecies that had come to pass. He had a record. He wasn't just this new kid in town. Hananiah had never accomplished anything. And I think it's important to value the voices of those who have represented God and served him faithfully and been right about stuff over a long period of time. People who even are dead, who when we look at their teaching, we just go, wow, that's, you know, you have a guy like a Spurgeon or somebody like that, and you're like, wow, this was so prophetic. This was amazing. Look at how long a person stuck with what they were doing, and their stuff holds up. Because it still seems relevant. Just jumping on the newest message out there is running the risk of, you know, yeah, it's new and it's exciting, but give me a record, show me a path of faithfulness before I'm going to respond to what you have to say. Because there's always new people doing something different who haven't established themselves at all. Jeremiah was an established dude. Hananiah, he was the new kid in town. It's real easy to make prophecies when nobody knows who you are. But it'll come back if you follow him. It'll come back to really bite you if you respond to that, if you listen to that. And then another thing that's common among truth and false prophets is that a true word from God is always going to prompt you toward diligence and faithfulness and discipline. But a false prophecy will almost always cause you to be complacent. In this case, you listen to Hananiah and you believe him. You feel like, no big deal. We don't have to do anything. We don't need to repent of anything. This is a short-term problem with a short-term solution. So, okay, fine. It's no big deal. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. Let's just be positive. But you listen to Jeremiah. It's time to build a house. It's time to plant a field. It's time to get involved with your community. It's time to raise your kids and see them married. It's time to plan for the future. See, it never is a bad thing to be diligent and to plan for the future. That's always a good thing. You're not going to feel like, oh boy, I wasted my time. You're in the middle of building your house in Babylon and all of a sudden Hananiah turns out to be right. And you're like, okay, I don't mind leaving a half-finished house to go back to my old family home. That's not a big danger. That's not a lot that you have to lose. And in the meantime, you enjoyed preparing for the future. It's like sometimes when we think about the Lord's return, people are always interested in, so do you think it's going to, you know, happen? What do you, you know, you see what's going on in the Middle East and you know, it looks like, man, we don't have long. Well, what does that prompt you to do? I absolutely believe that Jesus one day will catch us up out of here and we'll be raptured and go to heaven and then all hell's going to break loose on the earth. It could happen today. I mean, it could. The other day during the Dodger game when they gave up a 6-1 lead, I thought it was going to happen right then. I'm like, okay, here we go. This has to be it. But, you know, it didn't happen. So, you know, I can remember times when people were so certain that Jesus was going to come back that they, like, didn't want to have kids. Or they didn't want to go to college. They didn't want to plan for a career because it's like, oh, no, I don't want to do that because Jesus is going to come back. And I mean, I got caught up in that when I was younger for a time too. It's like, I don't think we're going to last. I don't think it's going to matter ultimately. So, I mean, for me, if I really knew, if I felt like this is it, it can't get much further. And, you know, if another Democrat gets elected in the next election, Jesus is coming. If I really thought that, you know what I would do? I would go max out all my credit cards and have some fun and stick the Antichrist with the bill. But the truth is, I don't know that. So I'm still going to plan on the future. And trust me, if I spend my life knowing that I'm preparing for the distant future, and if Jesus comes back, I'm not going to be bummed. If you have 2 kids and you've been wanting 5 kids and Jesus comes and we all go to heaven, you're not going to go, shoot, I wanted 3 more kids. It's, no, the best way you can be ready is to be preparing for the future. And what God, when God speaks to us, it always involves there is stuff you can do. You need to get busy doing what you can do. A few years back, there was a guy, Harold Camping, who he had made several predictions about the world ending, but this one was the big one. And he goes, the world is going to end, and he set the date. And he was certain of it. And it was getting a lot of publicity, and even a lot of, you know, normal Christians were going, wow, maybe he's right. I hope he's right. Camping was kind of a nut, but he had, I think he died within a couple of years of when this happened too, but he had vast holdings, radio stations all over the world and everything. And at one point, there was a friend of mine, Rob Yardley, who went and talked to Harold Camping's people before this. He said, Pastor Chuck gave him permission that we will buy all your radio stations and all your property and give you a good price for it, and we will sign papers to close escrow the day after the world ends. So you'll have no problems if you're right. Well, they weren't interested in that. So there is something inside of them that kind of knew maybe this wouldn't happen. But when you're hearing from God, it's going to cause you to make the best of the situation that you're in. When you're hearing a phony, just positivity kind of message, it will almost always cause you to just go, great, I just need to wait. There are some people that live their whole lives thinking that waiting for the Lord means you don't need to do anything. Just wait and he'll do everything. Most of the time, it doesn't work out that way. And we present these, I mean, how many people have been so hurt when somebody told them God's going to heal you and they weren't healed? Or somebody said, God is going to bring a spouse for you and it just doesn't happen. See, we don't know that. We don't know that's going to happen. And so a smarter approach always, and the approach that God always uses is, hey, make the best of what's going on in your life. It may continue. It may just be that way. So how do you make the best of it? And that's a message from God that calls us to responsible, diligent labor. Anything that leads us to complacency is just wrong. Sounds good, but it's wrong. And then ultimately, you look at what you're hearing and see how it lines up with what God's already said. By this time, Jeremiah had already prophesied this 70-year captivity. And others were prophesying it as well, Daniel and others. And so Hananiah are coming up with something new. All you have to do is look at what he says and see how does this jive with what God has already said. And so often, if we just look at what the Bible says in context, we can see that so much of the stuff that people are spewing is just fake. It's just phony. It's just wrong. So for every one of us, we have to decide, do I want to face the truth? Do I want to believe what's real and live my life accordingly? Or am I going to look for anything that will make me think that I don't have to do anything, that I can just kind of let it happen and everything's going to be okay really shortly? Are you like Tom Cruise, can't handle the truth? Or, okay, old reference again. Sorry, you know, if you want to understand my references, you have to study history, mostly film and TV history. But are you somebody who can handle the truth, or are you somebody that won't? Because ultimately, the choice between hearing what God says and hearing a phony baloney message of false hope is whether or not do you look at what he says? Do you look at the reality of the situation? Are you hearing something that you don't want to hear? And yet, intuitively, you're just going, yeah, that could easily be the case. I don't know if your life is going to get a lot better. I know that it would be really cool for me to get up here and just tell you, you're all beautiful people, and your lives are going to be so much, a year from now, your lives are going to be so much better than they are. You know, sometimes when we tell people to come to Jesus, we give them the impression that all your problems, bring them to Jesus and they'll all be solved. And then we go hide so we don't have to face the people when it doesn't work that way. Now, the true message from God so often is, you think this is bad? It could get a lot worse, and it might. Because we are following the Jesus who said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That wasn't a popular message then, and it isn't a popular message now, but that's the way it is. You need to accept the reality of what God says, do the best you can with what happens, and believe that he's going to be with you, and understand ultimately your problems are not going to be solved until you die and go to heaven. And when you're in heaven, none of this stuff is even going to matter. You're going to wonder why you were so worried about it. That's the truth. It's not as pretty as a message that just says, as long as you just believe, you can achieve. That's a lot catchier, Hananiah. But Jeremiah goes, don't believe that. Don't buy that. It could get worse. But there's a future, and there's a hope. And that future and hope might be after you are gone. There's a future that Jesus has provided for you because he was willing to die. And look at him. His career went downhill almost from the day it started. And he went from where he just filled a big wedding party with lots of great alcohol, and to the point where everyone rejected him. His friends turned their backs on him, and he died on the cross. And you go, wow. I thought he could have had a good long career. But the best thing he ever did was when he died. And then after that, forever on his throne in heaven, and because he gave his life for us, every one of us can go there and be with him. And that is the truth. But it's a hard truth because the path to heaven is for almost all of us, unless the Lord finally does deliver us. But for most of us, if history continues to repeat itself and God continues to prolong life because he wants to save more people, we're going to get to life through death. It's just the way it goes. You can't fight it. You can delude yourself, but eventually that's going to fall apart because you're going to realize, man, I'm getting old. I never thought I would get this old. And as you're getting old, you're looking for quick cures that are going to make you younger. I was at my physical therapist, and I was going, yeah, you know, he's having me do all these exercises and stuff. And I go, yeah, it'd be great to get this well, because if I stand up too long or if I walk, it just starts getting really sore. And if I sit down for just a little while, then, you know, I feel totally better. And he goes, Dave, when we get older, when we're young, he said, being up and moving and standing, boy, that's when we're at our best. But he said, time comes in your life when sitting feels more natural to us. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. You know, I want to believe Wally is telling me, no, you could be back at, like, just like when you were younger. You know, it's easy for a young guy to say. But see, the truth is, life deteriorates. But the great thing is, I don't have to depend on changing every circumstance in order to be blessed by God. I can accept what it is that he has laid before me, and I can make the best of what challenges me. And that's always to take care of myself and to do the best I can to prolong, you know, in some ways, living long is just a way of prolonging the agony. But still, it's, you know, I can do that, but not by fooling myself into just believing that if I believe enough, things are going to change. Most of the time, when things change, they get worse. That's life. Can you handle that? Will you deal with that? Because God is in the business not of making this life less painful or less difficult. He is in the business of teaching us how in this fallen world we can thrive because of how we deal with that which we're facing, and know that ultimately another world is what we're living for. And I know that's not as pleasant as some messages you might hear, but that's the truth. And I just want to deal with the truth. I'm tired of being fooled. I'm tired of having my hopes dashed when I believe something and then it ends up being this. I want to deal with reality. And that's what we need to hear from God. Because he says, no matter what you go through, even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not that I'll keep you from it. I'll be with you. You don't have to fear. And that's his message. Now, there might be some of you here today who have never actually entered into a relationship with the Lord. And as I talk, you're going, yeah, I can see why. I don't want to sign up for that. Well, too bad. You're already in it. You've been born. You're a human. You're growing older. People want to take advantage of you. They don't like you, and you become less likable all the time, whether you know Jesus or not. So the real question is, do you want to make the best of that and make sure that your eternity is secure? That your process of spending years and years and years dying actually turns into eternal life? I hope you have a plan, because on the path that you're on apart from Jesus, the only hope you have is false hope. You can keep believing that you are getting younger all the time. You can keep believing that someday everything will change for you. Or you can align yourself with the one who came here and died for you so that your sins could be forgiven. And he says, look, I will help you deal with this painful life, and then I will give you a life after that that will never hurt, that will never be difficult or challenging. It will be a blessing. So you can just ignore Jesus and hang on to your hope that somehow miraculously everything in your life is just going to work itself out because you're a good person. Or you can go to him and say, in the big picture, I need to know how to deal with my pain. And I need to know that there's an end to it someday. That someday I can go be in the place where that it really was designed for me, where I really will be perfect, where I will be young forever. And that's a choice that you make. Now, we're about to celebrate what we call communion. It's a time where we remember what Jesus did for us when he allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed so that the price could be paid so that we can be forgiven. That's what communion is about. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, never really entered into a relationship with him, I know I don't make it sound all that exciting. It isn't. Death never is. But it is exciting in the long run. And it's better than what you've got now. It's incredibly better even now to know how to make the best that you can of where we are. And you can enter into a relationship with him as the elements are passed out. We'll hang on to the little piece of cracker that represents his broken body and the cup of juice that represents the blood that he shed for us. And you can decide. It's not going to cost you anything. You don't even have to tell anybody if you don't want. You just talk to him. He's listening to you. He can hear your heart. And if you just tell him, when I'm receiving these elements, I want to receive you. I need somebody who will tell me the truth. I need someone who has a plan that goes beyond all of this. And you can enter into a relationship with him. It's absolutely free. And I pray that you'll do it. If you have a life that you know enough of the truth that you stop believing the lies that got you through your youth, and now you'd like to have something that will carry you through into eternity, he's waiting for you and he loves you. And there's nothing fake about him. There's nothing imaginary about the fact that he died for you and can offer you forgiveness and everlasting life. So I pray that you'll enter into that relationship with him today. You'll never, ever regret it. And I promise you, that's the truth.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. You're here to wrap up our time together in prayer. Pastor Dave, once again.
Lord, thank you for telling us the truth. We don't want to believe it for a long time, but it becomes obvious as all of the fake prophets are discredited, as all of the positive thinkers fall by the wayside. And here we are, still here, still alive, longer than we ever thought we would. And we want the truth. We want to deal with reality. And you offer us that. And you showed us that in your life. So Lord, help us to make the best of the pain, to create the best situation in a lost and dying world, to pray for our cities and our officials, and to contribute to everything that's good that we can in this world, and to build our houses and our families and our businesses in a way that can glorify you, that can allow people to see that there is a way to have victory above the murk and the mire and the death that's in this world. Help us to be faithful in those ways and to embrace the truth, because that's all we have, to reject the lies, to walk with you. And Lord, for the people here who have never really entered into that relationship, as we're worshiping you and the elements are passed out, I pray that something will tug inside of them that says, this sounds just so weird that it might be true. And I pray that you will give them the faith to receive you as they receive the elements, to start their life over, saying, from now on, I want to make the best of a bad situation, believing that God has a perfect situation for me when this life is over. So draw them to yourself, I pray. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, Ezekiel responds to God's glory and call on his life. And it wasn't easy. See what we can learn from it in Dave Rolfe's message, Responding to Glory. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up.